This morning, I know if you're here normally, when we do the Lord's Supper, we do it quarterly here at our church, and the Bible tells us as often as you do it in remembrance of me. And so it's a what we do quarterly here, but we normally do it at the beginning of the service. But today we wanted to, because this is what would be considered the beginning of Passover week, or this is that time of the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem right before he was crucified. And so we want to basically build the message towards the Lord's Supper. And so as we go into this service, it's a little bit different. It's not the way I normally do it, but I guess not saying I'm always right. So we're going to do it this way. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And of course, Jesus in the Gospels told how he instituted the Lord's Supper. And here we have Paul talking about it to the Corinthians, to the church of Corinth, trying to share with them the message that he had got from the Lord himself on the Lord's Supper. And so as we go into this passage, let's read along with me if you would. We're in 1 Corinthians 11, chapter or verse 23. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" Let's pray. Father God in heaven, as we come this time and we read this passage, we study through this, we look at it to see what it is you have from us. Lord, may this be more than just an ordinance we do. May we see the love and the passion that you have for us, the grace and the mercy you bestowed upon us. Lord, we lift this time to you and pray that you would move among us. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, if you go back to the Gospels, when Jesus talked to the disciples, he sent a couple disciples into the city and said, "Go and prepare a place for us to observe the Passover." The Passover was a meal that the Israelites were told to continue, and that was celebrating the Passover was this week. But that Passover meal, so many times people don't understand what that really was. And so I want to touch just a little bit on the Passover. It was a remembering and a celebration of the deliverance of God. And they would have certain things. They would have what we call a Seder dinner. I think they give it the name. And they would have several things. They would have unleavened bread. And there would be three pieces generally of unleavened bread. And that was because it was supposed to represent the haste in which they left Egypt, in a hurry. And so that was the reason for the unleavened bread. And then they also had these bitter herbs. And if you've ever partook in a Seder meal, and we've done that here before, it is a very bitter, bitter herb. And that is to represent or to remember the bitterness of the slavery that they were in Egypt. And then they have a roasted egg. And that egg was a reminder of the cycle of life that God brought them through as he went through. They would have a shank bone from a lamb, and that would represent that sacrificial lamb that when they were in Egypt and God said to put the blood of the lamb on the posts of the house and the death angel would pass by, that lamb, that shank bone would represent that sacrificial lamb. And then they would eat this sweet paste. They said it was sweet. I don't know. But it would be a sweet paste made of nuts and fruits. And that represented the mortar that they had to use when they were making all these bricks and things when they were in slavery. And then they would take vegetables, green vegetables, and dip them in salt. And that would be the representative of all the tears that fell during that time of deliverance. And during that process of the meal, they would take 4 cups of watered-down wine at different stages in the meal. They would represent the first one, I would bring you out, a way of God's deliverance. The second one, the second cup would be, I will deliver you from bondage. The third would represent, I will redeem you. And then the fourth cup would represent, I will take you as my people. So Jesus wanted to be faithful and to celebrate the Passover. And he knew this was going to be the last opportunity he was going to have to celebrate the Passover with his disciples. He wanted to show them the importance of it and that he supported the importance of it. But then he did something and he took two of those elements. He took the bread and he took the cup. And he shifted from celebrating the deliverance from Egypt out of slavery to the promised land to now he's going to take this bread and he's going to take this cup and he's going to get them to celebrate the deliverance from bondage and sin to freedom and eternal life in Jesus Christ. And so what he's going to do with these cups and this bread, let's look. He says, he took the bread and he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body. Now there are scholars that want to argue and say that the bread actually turned into Jesus' body. But when he's standing there talking to the disciples and he said, take, this is my body. It's a symbol, it's representative of what took place, what he was offering. The same way that the bread was given to them, it was broken and given to them so that they could eat it. The same way his body was whipped and beaten and given to them. There are people out there that say, well, Jesus was taken. They came to the garden and they took him and they beat him and they arrested him and they chained him up and they whipped him and they ended up crucifying him. And in their mind, they think that Jesus did not lay down his life. Jesus surrendered his life. Jesus gave his life the same way he gave this bread. It was for them. Bible tells us that Jesus could have called legions of angels to destroy the world, but instead he chose to die for you and me. When he laid down his life, he did it out of love. And so he gave this bread. Then he took this cup. And the cup represents, it says, the new covenant in his name, in his blood. When they would take and they would have a sacrifice in the Old Testament, what they would do is they would kill this bull and whatever covenant, whatever agreement they had made, the blood of this bull sealed the agreement. It was like that stamp to say that this is what's happening. It's a sealed, it's a done deal. But when Jesus Christ offered up His blood, what He has done is He has sealed it. He says it's finished. He poured out His blood as a substitutionary death for you and me. Now, when that bull was sacrificed, that bull was not perfect. And so they would have to go back later and sacrifice another bull. But because of Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, when He died once for all. So as we look at that, I want us now to say, okay, we're discussing the Lord's Supper, which we're going to take. Jesus talked about the bread and the cup, and we know those symbols. We talk about those symbols all the time. But there's something that stood out to me in this verse that I couldn't get over the past week or so. And so I want to look at it. And it's in the last part of verse 25, so I'm going to read all of 25. He says, in the same manner he took also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. This do. So is he talking about just eating this bread and just drinking this cup? Just do this and remember me. I think sometimes as Christians, that's all we look into that. That's all we do as we look at the idea, the understanding that, yeah, I'm supposed to look back and remember. But I think there's more than that. Because what we're doing is we're signifying our faith in Him. Every time that the disciples, from this point on, when they took the Lord's Supper, what they did is they recognized their faith. They did that out of faith. If a person is just taking bread and taking the cup, we could go on into 1 Corinthians there on in 11, chapter 11, where they were taking the Lord's Supper incorrectly. And He told them, you need to examine yourself, because they were taking it in the wrong way. When we take it in the right way, it signifies the faith that you have. If we come into a church service and we sit down and we just naturally take this cup and this bread and we just take it and it's a part of the service and we go right on, well, then we have the idea and the understanding is, does that take faith? I could come in here every morning on Sunday morning and stop at the water fountain and get a drink. Or I could go down to the office and pull out a piece of candy. And I could do that every Sunday morning. And that would mean absolutely nothing. When we take the Lord's Supper, we need to understand that it signifies our faith in Jesus Christ. I was doing a devotion earlier this week. And I want us to stop and I want to read an excerpt out of that. Because when it comes to thinking about our faith and taking this meal in just a moment, what does it signify? I want you to understand what really took place. I'm going to read this. It says, God the Father remembered every single sin that every believer has or ever will commit, and He punished Jesus for each and every one of them. Instead of us. Then He imparted to us the righteousness of Jesus so that we can stand before God as spotless. Our debt has been paid, a debt that we could not pay. Our transgression has been forgotten. An omniscient God chose to forget the penalty of my sin. Only the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to wash away the stain of your sin from the memory of an omniscient God. What has Jesus Christ done for you? When you take this meal, when you take that bread and that cup and you begin to remember, you are showing, you are signifying to those around and to God Himself, but really to you too, what it means that Jesus did for you on that cross. Next, as He says, to remember. Do we just remember what He did on that cross? Or do we remember the love that it took to do that? Because there are times when we get into the habit and we know Jesus died for us and we know we have salvation through His blood. But do you stop and think about how that sacrificial love was for just you? We can group all Christians together. We can group everybody. You know, it says that God so loved everyone. God so loved the world that everyone But I want you this morning, because not everyone's going to take this. There are people all over the world that have never taken the Lord's Supper. They've never taken communion. It means nothing to them. They don't understand what it means. It has no purpose in their lives. So as you take it this morning, don't take it as one Christian in a group of many. Take it as an individual at the feet of Jesus and understand the love that He had for you to be able to take upon every single sin that you ever have or will commit. And sometimes we get in our mind the thought that, you know, well, he was God, and so it didn't hurt. He was God, and so He could block the pain out. He was 100% human. At the same time being 100% God. But if He got tired, if He got hungry, if He got thirsty, I guarantee you when He was whipped with a cat of nine tails, it hurt. When He was stabbed with a spear, when His beard was plucked out, when they treated Him the way they treated Him, it hurt. And He took it because He loved you. He took it because He loved each one of us as individuals. And so when we remember, we don't just remember that He took the cup and He blessed the cup and He took the bread and He gave it. We remember that, but we can't just stop there. We have to remember what He did for us. And then He goes on in 26 and says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. Now, the symbolism and the understanding, and He says, as often as you take this Lord's Supper, this communion, you're representing, you're proclaiming the Lord's death. There are many times that I tell you that if you're going to proclaim your faith, you have to do it boisterous. You have to speak. And I think that's true. But I want you to understand that when you take this bread and drink this cup, if you choose to do that, you are proclaiming the death of Jesus Christ and the reason for it. You have that opportunity. And there are some times when I can say many, many words and get nothing said. And there are other times when you can do something and not say a word and it speaks volumes. Who are you speaking to? Well, other people may see it. But if my heart is right, I'm proclaiming His death. I'm recognizing His death to Him. Well, normally when we proclaim something, we proclaim it to other people. And yes, they're going to see. But they don't see what's in my heart. They don't see what's running through my mind. When I speak, they hear what I say. But when I take this meal, I'm proclaiming, and yes, they will see me, but I'm proclaiming to God what He means to me. As I remember what He's done, as I show Him my faith and my understanding and what He did for me, the love He has for me, and I proclaim that, you know, I can lie to people, you can lie to people, but you can't lie to God. And He says, you proclaim the Lord's death. So if I just come and I just take that cup and I just take that bread and I just take it and it means nothing to me, how am I proclaiming to God what His death on that cross, His resurrection from that grave means to me? What does it really mean to anybody else? If it doesn't mean something to me, if it doesn't mean something to to me, then it doesn't mean anything to Him. So we signify our faith, we remember His sacrificial love, and we proclaim His death. And then the last part of that says, until He comes. Now we know that we're supposed to keep doing this over and over until Jesus Christ splits that eastern sky and He comes back to take us home. And so we continue to do it until that happens. And if I'm willing to continue to do that, if I'm taking that, I'm anticipating the fact that one day He is coming back. And if I'm going to take this, like I said, at our church we take it quarterly. Other churches take it different times. I don't think it matters because He says as often as you do it in remembrance of Him. But if I'm going to continue to do this, that means I'm anticipating the fact that one day He's coming back. And if the only way I anticipate He's coming back is I take this quarterly, what about the rest of the time? What about daily in my life? Shouldn't I be doing these same things? Yes, Jesus proclaimed these things. He instituted the Lord's Supper that we do these things in remembrance of Him, but do these same things every day. Signify your faith to those people out there every day. Remember His sacrificial love in the decisions that you make in your life. Proclaim Him to Him every day, His death. In your life, every day, if He died so that you might live, then we should live because He died. And we should do it until He comes. I can remember when I was a little kid in school, and the teachers would say, okay, bring something for show and tell. Man, you would see some strange things come to school at show and tell. Those teachers were brave, I'm just saying. But man, it was something that I could bring from home and I could stand up there in front of the class and for just one moment, I would be able to tell everybody what this meant to me. Look what I've got. And then I'd be able to tell them about it. And maybe after class, someone says, hey, can I see that? Can you tell me something else about that? You have a great opportunity through this, through life, to have the best show and tell you will ever have. You can show God what His death meant to you. You can show other people. You can tell other people. Surely I don't have to tell God because He already knows. You know, I know my kids love me, but when one of them tells me that, I kind of like that too. God may know that you love Him, but He sure would like to hear it. You can show Him by what this really means to you today. And then you can tell Him by how you go out and live your life. So we remember and we proclaim what He's done. That's what it's all about. And we do it until He comes back. We anticipate that. I'm going to pray and then I'm going to ask the deacons to come up and we're going to take this meal. Now, we consider this an open table. It's not our table. It doesn't belong to First Southern Baptist Church. This is the Lord's Supper. If you are a born-again Christian, then you are more than welcome to join us. If you don't feel comfortable taking it, please do not. Nobody's going to think a thing if that tray comes past you and you pass it on, because you may feel like, hey, I just took it in my church last week, or I'm not sure where I'm at right now with understanding all of this. So you do what you want to do, because like I said, this is not about who's in the aisle or who's in front of you or behind you with this. This is between you and God, and you're proclaiming to Him. So we're going to ask the deacons to come up after I pray. Father, we just come before you and we just thank you for the opportunity to love you, to serve you, to honor you, to glorify you. Lord, as we take this supper, may we remember. In Jesus' name, amen.